Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the Emperor, Drake Winter. How are you doing this evening, Drake?
I'm pretty good, thanks.
Yeah. And how have you been since we last spoke?
Busy. Probably the best word for it.
Just under a year since your last on, I think.
Roughly, yeah. I think when the first came on was when I started getting like a load of bookings, like that's when it first started happening, and then it's just been sort of spiralling from there.
Well, thanks for joining us this evening. I thought we'd do a quick recap of your career for the listeners who missed the first interview. So just firstly, what prompted you to don the tights and get in the ring?
Same as everybody else, really, watching it as a kid. Didn't really find anything when I was in school that I really wanted to pursue.
No.
It was the only thing I ever really sort of said I wanted to do. The school were actually quite concerned, actually. They sent me to the careers advisor, like on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
Who was in several times because it was the only thing I'd say I wanted to do. And they were all like, only a few people make it to the WWE. I was like, that's fine. That's fine. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, I just want to do it.
Yeah. So was there a wrestler you wanted to mold your style around when you started training? Oh, wrestling.
I think if you'd have asked me when I was like 14, 15, I probably would have said someone like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
But then, obviously, that didn't really materialise.
Yeah.
I guess Bret Hart's always been sort of like a big influence.
So how's your gimmick evolved over the years?
Well, when I first debuted, I didn't really know what route I wanted to go down. I was a heel, so I knew that kind of I needed to be a bit of a, you know, mean guy, I guess. So I could sort of, whenever anyone asked me, I was always like, oh, yeah, I'm just the guy who goes out there and punches people in the face. But then I thought that would be a character. So I started thinking about a couple of things I could do. I had a couple of gimmicks in mind, but I was watching a lot of Dragon Ball at the time, and I was like,
yeah,
I really like the character Frieza, and I thought an emperor style type gimmick, that could work. And then I sort of got the black and silver like gear, and I thought, okay, if I'm going to go down this route, I might as well sort of go for it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a bit Games of Thronesy as well.
Yeah, I kind of I actually bought the cloak for a different gimmick that I was thinking about trying.
Yeah.
But then I thought it kind of goes with the Emperor thing, like it's a really accessible sort of visual thing that people are going to connect with. So I guess originally sort of Frieza was sort of like the direction I was going to go in. But then I thought, well, if I'm going to go for the Emperor thing, then, I mean, this works.
Yeah, definitely. So, with the final series of Game of Thrones getting such a poor response, have you noticed the change in the crowd's reactions to it?
Not really. I mean, they've always hated me, so.
Yeah. So take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it? And in hindsight, did you enjoy it? Was it any good?
I was doing in the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And I made it to the Final Four. I ended up actually having probably the weirdest elimination I've ever had.
All right.
So just doing Omari over the top rope. People know RBC Progress and
yes,
that.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I just thrown him over the top, and then the judge comes over and throws me over. And he didn't throw me out that hard, so I thought if I just sort of fall out, that's not going to be believable at all. So I held onto the bottom rope,
oh.
And then I realised I was actually hanging off the bottom rope a couple of feet above the floor.
Oh, right.
Just hanging off the bottom rope with my feet, just sort of like tucked up, so the judge just comes over, waves by at me, slaps my hand, and I fall on the floor, and that was the end of that.
But I've just noticed we are, this is a podcast first, because you're the first person I've ever interviewed whilst wearing their t-shirts. So,
oh.
Do you want to let people know where they can buy your t-shirt?
Well, the stock's running very low right now. I think I'm down to about 4 or 5 t-shirts.
Yeah.
But I have got a Big Cartel page, or people can message the Drake Winter page directly, and I can sort that out from there.
All right, so you've got some big dates coming up, so on the 20th, you're at CPW, Secret Society, in a grudge match against Morris. So what's the story behind this match?
Well, it's an over 16 show.
Yeah.
First time I think CPW have ever actually attempted that.
All right.
Basically, I've taken a few months away from CPW. I got some personal stuff sorted out. But when I came back, I was in a tag team match, teaming up with Bashby to take on Morris and another wrestler called George.
Yeah.
Me and Bashby went over. Then there was what they call a death row match for their version of Money in the Bank.
All right, okay.
And we kind of had a thing in the middle of that. Neither of us ended up winning that. And then we had a one-on-one match the following month, in which I ended up beating Morris. So kind of like the match is kind of like the culmination of all of that into one. So he's never beaten me. He's got this, you know, last chance to try and beat me. And I'm trying to establish my legacy in CPW. So it's kind of like, you know, he's getting desperation at this point. I'm trying to sort of establish myself as the next big guy in CPW. So that's kind of the story based around the match.
Oh, brilliant. Now you've got LPW. I love this name, Voyage of the Slammed.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the one of my favourite show names I've worked on.
That's on the 26th. So it's you and Henry Winter. So, not the football journalist, I'm guessing. No relation to
myself and Henry Winter. Cold snap against the Heavyweight Heartbreakers.
Oh wow!
In a tag team match.
Oh, brilliant. The Heavyweight Heartbreakers, not somebody I'm familiar with. So
I think they work a lot down south.
Yeah,
I've seen them sort of down there. So I've not worked with them myself personally, but I'm looking forward to it.
But, and then you've got Classic UK Pro Wrestling on the 27th. So the evil fans of Classic Pro Wrestling have voted you to have you and Tristan Wheeler to have a tables match.
Yeah. I mean, as the Emperor, it would have been nice to have had a kiss and a foot match because it's very fitting. But I suppose a tables match is something I've never really done before. So I'm looking smaller than me, so it's going to be a lot harder for him to try and put me through a table. So it's a lot better for me.
Do you have any plans to make the table extra evil? Like pins or fire?
Oh, don't start putting those ideas in my head because Tristan will probably be listening to this crying into his pillow.
Well, I was at Wrestle Island at the weekend and Gina Ramsey put Demon Eye through a table covered in Lego, and you should see the state of Demon Eye's back now. Oh, it's horrible.
Wow.
So that show is for Firefighters Charity?
Raising money so that the firefighters around the Leeds area can sort of get the equipment that they need a lot with all the cuts going on and stuff like that. It's sort of just to support them.
Yeah, that's a brilliant cause.
Equipment, services, stuff like that.
Okay, and then you're at Ocean County Wrestling, a new beginning on the 3rd. You're in the tournament?
Yeah, it will be King of the Ocean Tournament. The winner gets a shot at the ACW Heavyweight title. I'm in the first round against David Eaton. Jason King and Vinnie Clay are also in the tournament, as well as a couple more that's not been announced yet for future shows.
Oh, brilliant. So I'll put show information, tickets, how you can get tickets for the shows in the description below the interview.
Hello, this is Flynn Arlo, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
So much has happened since our last interviews, like AEW and NXT UK have launched, Hello Wembley was a huge success, PCW and IPW both have got TV deals, so have you got any short or long-term goals for Drake Winter in the next year?
I mean, things like WWE tryout would obviously be the sort of thing that I would definitely like to see.
Yeah.
The realisticness of that, I don't know, but it's obviously what I'm working towards. I think everybody in the business is working towards stuff like that. In terms of closer to home, I'd like to say that I'd be working for like Progress or PCW, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I love to see you PCW because I love to see you on telly, so more people can see you.
That's definitely it.
So, if you're a promoter for a day, I'm gonna call this show "Winter's Coming," and you could use wrestlers who you've worked with on shows. So, if I give you a match type, could you tell me which wrestlers you'd put into that show, match for the show?
Okay.
So what would be your opening contest to excite the crowd?
I'd probably go with something a little bit high-flying.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go recent guest of yours, actually, Flynn Arlo.
Wow.
And I'd probably put him against someone else that I've worked with quite a lot, Mickey Rowley.
Yes, Mickey Rowley is something I really want to see live. I've only heard good things about him. What would be your women's title match?
I'd say probably Lana Austin.
Yes, definitely.
Against probably Natalie Wilde.
Oh, two of my favourites. Yeah. Yeah. I saw Lana Austin September last year. She was in a match against Sue Young. It was Impact versus British Wrestling. It was a great show. I saw Natalie Wilde at the weekend at Wrestle Island. What would your gimmick match be?
I'd probably throw a cage match in there.
Yes. Who would compete in it?
I'd probably put myself in that one because I've always wanted to compete in a cage match.
Cool.
Probably again, someone I've worked with quite a lot lately, Troy Jones. He does a top rope elbow drop. top rope elbow drop off the top of the cage. Oh, sounds yeah. obviously big with planning that.
That'll be amazing. Your tag team title matches?
Probably have Merseyside Murder Squad.
Yes, they're my favourite. I saw them at the weekend as well.
Donnie, no, against Axel Steel and Donnie Sparks, a team called Metal Militia.
Wow, I've not seen them.
They are definitely one of the more unknown teams, but they're absolutely fantastic.
Oh, brilliant. I think Merseyside Murder Squad is definitely my girlfriend's favourite.
They're one of the best tag teams in the country, I think.
Yeah, I always want to call him Seth Skyline, but he's changed his name to Scott Overman. Yeah, he's one of my favourites and of who's around at the moment. He should be getting a bigger stage soon.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So then, who'll be your main event? Who'll be competing for your title?
Okay. This one's probably a lot harder because there's a lot of very talented people out there. Probably go with sort of the big names. So probably go Bram versus Ligera.
Oh, that'd be amazing. I like Bram. I saw him a couple of years ago live.
Had the chance in the ring with Bram last November.
Wow. Yeah, he was the best thing about the Ascension back in NXT back in the day.
Probably.
And I loved his run and impact.
That was where he probably had a much sort of better chance to define his character and stuff around when he was in TNA.
Yeah, definitely. Always thought him and Drew Galloway would have made a good team back in the day. And they're both on the indie scene.
That would have been good.
Well, how would you want to change people's perception of British? Oh, no, maybe not British wrestling, but wrestling in general.
I think it just needs to sort of add a bit more sort of realism to it.
Yeah.
Just sort of less. I don't want to say less comedy stuff because comedy stuff can work. I just think less of the ultra cartoony stuff is what I would like to see. Like when guys just put the match in the middle of a match and just have a dance off and stuff like that, like it's not for me personally.
No.
It's not going to convert people to being wrestling fans, in my opinion. But yeah, I guess stuff like that making it not seem completely like serious, because there is a place for the comedy side of wrestling, but sort of to make sort of bring people in to make it seem like it's a bit more sort of serious is probably the word I'd use, but. Not in the way that like comedy wrestling doesn't have a place.
No. Okay. And what advice would you give somebody getting into the business?
Just sort of do it. Like I said for many years that I was gonna start training, and I didn't do it until I was 23.
Yeah.
I kept putting it off for one reason or another, and eventually I was like, well, I'm just coming up with any excuse. I've used 10 excuses so far why I haven't done it. So I lost out on. What, 9 years? Wow. Most people start doing it at 14.
Yeah.
I did it at 23, so I lost out on about 9 years. It's one of the things that sort of like I think about a lot, like where would I be if I'd have started training at 14?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 28 now, I'd have 14 years of experience. So if there's anyone sort of out there thinking about it, just do it. You're going to regret the time that you've lost.
And what's the best advice you've been given by someone in the business?
I'd say probably keep my mouth shut and open my ears.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not very much an issue I had personally, but it was more of a precautionary thing that I sort of saw this person telling everyone. I've seen loads of people who like open their mouth a bit too much and end up crashing and burning because they've said the wrong thing to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And I've also seen people who think they know everything just sort of go out there, do what they want to do, and they don't listen to the advice that's being given, and then they wonder why they're not going anywhere. I think that's the best advice I ever got.
Yeah, and you've been trained by some of the best. Chris Hero, Johnny Saints, and O'Neill, I can't remember his first name.
Kevin O'Neill.
So.
Yeah, James Mason, Johnny Kidd, people like that.
Wow. Yeah, they've got a ton of experience to pass on, so if you need to listen to these guys if you want to make it.
Definitely, yeah.
So before we go, do you want to promote your social media?
I'm on Facebook, which is facebook.com/ Drake Winter. I've just hit 700 likes on that now. Wow. So looking for a lot of steam. I'm on YouTube, but there isn't like a specific link for it. Just search Drake Winter on there, it'll come up with the channel. Twitter as well, it's @FatBreakKid, and same for Instagram. I think those are the only platforms I actually use.
Cool. I'll put links in the description below the interview, so all your social media. So I've really enjoyed having you on again. Love to have you on again in the future.
Let me know. It's all out.